Tonight, we give our thoughts on Guitar Hero Metallica and Monsters vs. Aliens. Plus, XNA sales figures were finally released. Is it the new promised land for indie developers? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of April 5th, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch. DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I'm not watching Men in Tights. I'm watching myself. I'm watching my computer screen. I'm watching chat. Hello, everybody. And welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here on All Games Radio, I want to welcome you. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com, is where I will be reading intelligent comments from chat in between all the chat about Men in Tights throughout the show. So if you're going to go to chat.allgames.com, you can talk about video games with us a little bit later on. I am going to be opening up our phone lines and our Skype lines. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. You can call us toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us in the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. Feel free to email me anything, or you can leave a voicemail or whatever. So let's get into some reviews. This week I was sent from Activision, so these are not copies I bought. These are copies sent to me. Guitar Hero Metallica and Monsters vs. Aliens. Monsters vs. Aliens, I unfortunately haven't had a chance really to get into more than what I did on Friday night. If you listen to Friday Night Gaming or watch Friday Night Gaming, FNGLive.net, we featured Monsters vs. Aliens because the reason I did this. Now, Monsters vs. Aliens is it's a movie tie-in game. It's a DreamWorks animated film, stars Stephen Colbert as the President of the United States, and Jack Bauer is the warmongering general that wants to kill everything. Recipe for success right there. It's a DreamWorks animated film about these monsters that take on aliens. Get it? Monsters versus aliens? Anyway, so I got this game in the mail, and to be completely honest, I was like, oh great, it's a movie game. It's a family game. It's based on a movie. It's going to suck. And I played it, and I was like, this isn't all that bad. And I mean, I was even talking to some other people that are, that review games as well, that are in our chat room. And we're all like, is it just me, or is this not all that bad? And, you know, it's not perfect. I mean, it's not Game of the Year material. It's not award-winning material, but it's not bad. Essentially, what it's got three different play styles, depending on the character. There is the Ginormica stages. She's the 49-foot, 11.5-inch woman. Is basically, it's kind of like a rails shooter. She's on skates, and she goes forward in the level, and there's jumping and ducking and, you know, attacking things and some quick time events in the boss battles. There's those stages, and then you go to Bob, which is the blob, and that's a completely different style of play. Which is basically, you know, you having to solve puzzles to get from one place to another, and you can latch onto the ceiling or latch onto the wall, or you can, you know, eat things, and then that helps you get through to other areas. For instance, you know, you're a blob, so if you go over a metal grate, you're going to fall through the grate. But if you have something solid inside you, you can actually go across, and so you need to go find, like, a crate or a person and go across. And then also there's, you know, you can actually take people who have the key card. So that's how you get into other areas. You got to eat the right person and, you know, take them through the door. And then there's also some shooting elements where you're just barfing out plasma bullets and shooting things, just wanton shooting. And then there's the missing Link. He is kind of, he's half monkey, half fish, I believe. And that kind of plays like Crash Bandicoot. That's the easiest way, because there's even TNT crates that explode on you. And that's kind of your, you know, jump, kick, punch, it's all in the mind, going around doing that, and some other puzzle elements, light puzzle elements. But they do get repetitive, but they were actually kind of fun to me. Obviously, you know, this game didn't get a stellar score from other reviewers or anything, but it was kind of fun, and I do know that it gets kind of repetitive. It also does have a co-op mode, which is great for families, and I'll explain the co-op mode. We also showed this a little bit on Friday Night Gaming. The co-op mode in was basically the second player would be just firing things, like shooting things around you okay? So they could be assisting you. But what this basically does is that the first player can do everything, and the second player only helps them. And they can't hurt the first player. The first player could, you know, play through the entire game without the second player. The second player only adds help. And why this is good, especially for a family game, is because you can give that second controller to your two-year-old nephew. And they can go around and they can have things happen on the screen. And they think they're playing the game when actually you're playing the game. And then, you know, you can, you know, they don't realize they're not really helping. But you can actually go through the game like that. And the kid thinks that they went through the game, even though they didn't really do anything. And it's kind of one of those neat things. You hand them the controller, and they think they're playing with, you know, uncle or dad or whatever, or mom or whatever, and they are, but they're not really like hindering gameplay, which is kind of nice. That's a nice feature in the co-op that they did with that. It also, but if you're two adults, two normal gamers, it makes the game way too easy. So it's really, the co-op really should only be used in the sense of, you know, you need to entertain somebody, and they may not be a big gamer, be them old, young, or very, very old. You know, like the, you know, a kid can have their mom, who doesn't play games, let them have the controller, and they're playing with their kid. So it can work both ways. The kid can be actually doing the real character and have the mom sit there and just shoot random things and stuff. So I like that feature of it. But like I said, the game does get repetitive. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know how closely it follows the movie storyline. I'm sure it kind of does, because there are monsters and they fight aliens. But I don't know how much more it follows the game. But you know, it is a family title. If it looks interesting to you, it is actually worth a rental. I wouldn't say buy it just yet. I mean, try it first, and you may like it, and you may buy it. But I would say rent it. Now, granted, realize I got it sent to me for free, so you need to work that in to your interpretation of what I'm saying. But it was actually not that bad. I was pleasantly surprised. This is not Spyro, which I reviewed last year. This was actually a good effort. And from what I understand, this is going to be the last DreamWorks tie-in that Activision does. This is the last movie that's under that contract, and I don't think they're continuing. But it was kind of fun, and even the people at Friday Night Gaming were enjoying it when they were playing it. Billy O'Keefe said the game is great, amazing, and screw other reviewers and their wives. As Acidic Vampire says, this game deceives children? The horror. The game doesn't deceive the children. You deceive the child. That's the whole point of parenting, is deceiving your children to do your wishes. At least that's what I thought it was. I don't have kids. So in terms of rating, I actually give it a B. You know, I do letter grades here, and I give it a B. It is definitely not a game, like, if your main thing is Call of Duty or Halo or anything like that, you're not going to enjoy this game. But it's a family game. I wouldn't call it a kid's game. This isn't Barbie Horse Adventures. This isn't, you know, Imagine Babies or anything like that. It is enjoyable, and I would say rent it. I'm not going to, you know, say that everybody should go out and buy this game right now, but you should at least give it a shot. And, you know, it does get repetitive near the end, from what I'm told, from some of the people that played longer, farther than I have at Computer Arena at Friday Night Gaming. But it's a fun game, and it's worth a look. Acidic Vampire also says, hopefully this game is better than Aliens vs. Predator. I didn't play Aliens vs. Predator, so don't know. So the other game that I got from Activision this week was Guitar Hero Metallica. I got it for the Xbox 360. No extra foot pedal, unfortunately. So I did not get a chance to try the Expert Plus drums, but I think I may be able to get a hold of a second foot pedal and just get a Y connector. I think what the extra foot pedal is, apparently, which I haven't gotten like an official statement from Activision. I don't know anybody who actually has one that can confirm this, is it's exactly like the first Guitar Hero foot pedal. But there's a Y audio splitter, which is like a couple bucks at Radio Shack or something. I've got several around here. That you plug them both into the splitter and then plug it into the jack. So it's not like there's a second port on the back of the drums. I think it's just a Y audio splitter. And as long as you have two Guitar Hero pedals, I don't think you can do a Guitar Hero and a Rock Band pedal. I don't think it works that way. But if you have two Guitar Hero World Tour pedals and just a Y audio splitter, you know, beat up a friend, take his pedal or something, and there you go. But I haven't been able to try that because I can actually play double bass. I can't play double bass on, you know, like one from Metallica. I can't do that double bass, but I can do some of the other double bass as long as it doesn't go for like 5 minutes, like most of Metallica's songs. So I'm screwed. But I did get to play through some of it. And the first thing that really jumped out to me was the fact that in the single-player career mode, they no longer force you to play six songs at once just to go through. Because in Guitar Hero World Tour, when you went through the career, you had a set list, and you had to play through that set list in that order. And it was basically, it would be like five songs plus an encore. And, you know, each song in Guitar Hero feels like 10 minutes long. So in order to just get through one thing in Guitar Hero World Tour, you had to put aside 60 minutes. You had to put aside an entire hour just to get through one thing. And it wasn't like, okay, I can. I don't know if you can stop it in the middle and then come back to it or anything, but you have to play in that order. So if you really want to play the song that's fifth on that set list, you have to play through the first four. You can't just go select it. Guitar Hero Metallica actually got rid of that. They went back to the you select the song and then you can play the song, which is kind of nice. The other thing that I noticed, because I also played it a little bit up at the computer arena with other people, is that every time they would pause or something, it did something that no other music game, at least none of the Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and I don't even think the Konami games did this. Some of the Bimani fans in our chat room may correct me. But when you pause the game, when you unpause it, it actually does a count-off for you. So it doesn't just, it's not like you just unpause it and the song starts immediately. It actually gives you a four-count count-off to get back into the song at the tempo. So you minimize the damage if somebody accidentally hits the guide button or hits the start button, which happens a lot. You'd be very surprised at how often that happens, especially on guitar, actually. So that's a very welcome feature. Other than that, it's Guitar Hero. I mean, if you had problems with Guitar Hero before, you're going to have the same ones here. You know, I still hate the drum set, but I think it might be more my drum set as well. But it does seem a little bit like, at least in the early going, the difficulty is scaled down. Like it's not as hard. It doesn't seem as hard as World Tour or Guitar Hero 3, which Guitar Hero Aerosmith was the same way. Guitar Hero Aerosmith wasn't as hard as Guitar Hero 3, it seemed. And I don't think that Guitar Hero Metallica is as difficult as, at least on, you know, in the early songs, you know, than Guitar Hero World Tour. You know, kind of like what I'm saying is, like, you know, a medium song in World Tour would actually be hard in Metallica. At least that's what it looks like to me. I have no scientific evidence to back that up. But basically, it's Guitar Hero, it's Metallica, it's got a couple other songs. They've got Metallifax, which I thought actually they were like video retrospectives or something. No, it's just basically, they talk about the song as you're watching the song. Basically, you're watching the characters play the song. And then it's got these little like pop-up video-style facts at the bottom. And they don't even fill the whole song. The one that I watched all the way through, it actually repeated like halfway through the song. It just started over with the Metallifax. But that's kind of interesting. And I think they even have those for the non-Metallica songs, which is kind of nice. In terms of the game, it's still Guitar Hero. I still personally prefer Rock Band. That's my bias. You know, I would have loved for this to have been, you know, Metallica and Rock Band, but it's Guitar Hero Metallica, so I'm a fan. I've been a fan of Metallica, notwithstanding the whole Napster stuff that turned me off for a while. So I like the song list a lot better than World Tour. But I'm also going to give this one a B because it's Guitar Hero. It's still got some of the same flaws as the Guitar Hero series has had recently. But it's to me, it's got a better set list for me than World Tour. Billy O'Keefe says, is there a feature where you can sue your fans? No, I don't think so. Hitstun says, I think Guitar Hero's drums are more fun. It's a matter of opinion. I mean, my problems mostly with the drums have been just with their sensitivity, and maybe that's kind of hampering my things. I actually had more fun because up at where we do Friday Night Gaming, they don't have a Guitar Hero drum set, so they're doing the Rock Band drum set. And I actually enjoy playing the Guitar Hero songs on the Rock Band drum set more. But when I'm here, I play it on the Guitar Hero drum set, and I play it with the Guitar Hero guitar and everything like that. TDB30 says he's still holding a grudge from the Napster era. I did for a while, too. Zui, I think is how you pronounce it, says he wants Guitar Hero Slayer. Guitar Hero Sailor. That is so wrong. Guitar Hero Slayer. There is a Slayer song in Metallica, and they actually had to, like, delay the release of the the game, so they, because that was a very late addition to get the Slayer song in there. Sailor. I can't believe I said Sailor. I'm going to get so flamed. Dark Tetsuya does say that in Bimani games, you actually can't pause. That's what it was. So, like, in Beatmania and Poppin' Music, you can't pause the game. You can hold the start button. That's right. You can hold the start button, and you end the song right then. But you can't pause it. So if the phone rings, and you're in the middle of some, you know, epic 12-minute 2DX song, you're screwed. Just, you know, quit. Especially when you're at minute 10, and the phone rings. Yeah. So that's Guitar Hero Metallica. It's come out... And I haven't seen any like special peripherals for it, so I mean you can use anything that you've already had. It works with the Rock Band guitars. It works with the Rock Band drums. Even though they do pop up a screen saying that you know, for the ultimate experience, you really should be using licensed peripherals. And the manual actually does state that, you know, Guitar Hero controllers are explicitly prohibited from being used in other games, which is not true because all the game console manufacturers force them all to play nice. But they still say in the manual in, like, big black bold letters that you cannot use the Guitar Hero peripherals with any other game other than Guitar Hero. And they're lying. But please send me more stuff, Activision. I appreciate the review copies. Both of those were review copies. I did not pay for them, but I probably would have bought Guitar Hero Metallica anyway because I am a Metallica fan. If you're a fan of Metallica and you like Guitar Hero, you have no reason not to have this. You know, kind of like the same that I said with AC/DC and Aerosmith. If you're a fan of the band, you probably already have this. You don't even need to listen to me. But basically, yeah, it's Guitar Hero with Metallica all over it. So some quick news that I wanted to go through. Sony had a huge announcement this week, and I just thought of this before we went on the air. Sony had a huge announcement this week. It was on Tuesday. And, you know, I really apologize for ripping on Sony. Because they're starting to be very nice to this show and other shows here on allgames.com. But, you know, Sony put out a big announcement. They're like, yeah, huge announcement on Tuesday. And it was a price drop. They put out, they're going to price drop one of their consoles. Because, you know, more people need to buy the PS3. The PS3 sales are kind of lagging around. So they lower the price of the PlayStation 2. So finally, now 8 years later, you can buy a PS2. For $100. So if you've haven't gotten on the PS2 train like the other hundreds of thousands of people that have bought PS2s, you can now get one for $100. Newsflash, I bought my PS2 8 years ago. Granted, I also bought my PS3 like 3 years ago, so I'm not the target audience of this. I guess they're going after the Wii. They're trying to get into some of the Wii sales, so they're putting the PS2 out there. And there's a lot of games for the PS2. And hey, the PS2 plays all PS2 games. Can't say that about the PS3 now, can you? So, they did drop the price, and now it's $100 to pick up a PS2. The PS1 dropped to $100 after 4 years. So the PS2 has sold more units and took longer to drop down to $100. The PS2, nobody's denying, that was a very successful console. Still has a lot of great games on it and everything. And some games are still coming out. I don't know if any other like big PS2 titles are coming out. I mean, you know, God of War 2 was kind of like the really last big one. And then for, you know, the more niche audience, Persona 4, which came out a couple months ago, that was kind of the last PS2 title I was even looking forward to, was Persona 4. And I don't know if anything else is really coming out for the PS2. I'll probably get corrected in chat. But I think everything's going to the PS3 and the PSP in terms of, like, the big-name software now. But now you can get a PS2 for $100. Dark Tetsuya says, the PS2 is starting to get more budget games. So that might be it. I mean, I know that they've, like, opened the PS2 development, at least, like, I know, like, in India, there's more game companies that are able to make PS2 games, and they don't have to go through the approval process. I mean, they still have to go through, like, approval process, like, does this game work, but not content-wise. I do know that, but that was in other parts of the world, like in India and stuff like that. PS2 games, it's become more of an open platform. But I don't think any of those are coming to America. Regan Elite says, the price drop really got me interested in getting a PS2 and some games. I mean, if you haven't gotten a PS2 yet, you're missing out. I mean, you know, yeah, the graphics aren't exactly, you know, Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 quality. And I think the Wii actually has some better graphics than the PS2. But, I mean, the PS2, the games were great. You know, there were a lot of great games. I mean, Regan Elite even said, you know, Shadow of the Colossus and the Kingdom Hearts games. Those are PS2 exclusive. The Final Fantasy X and 12 were PS2 exclusive. The God of Wars, God of War 1 and 2, and God of War 2 looks great, especially for a PS2 game. There are a lot of great games. There's a lot of games in the back catalog that people should be checking out. Sully907 says, I guess the only big PS2 games coming out would be the new MotorStorm game and the new Jack game. I didn't even know either of those were coming out. I learned something today. This is why we have chat.allgames.com. They can say it. I don't know. Did I say Gears of War? I meant God of War. Sorry about that. God of War 2. I'm just flubbing all my lines today. So another thing that I wanted to talk about is Nintendo. They came out with a system today, and I haven't touched one, so I can't really talk too much about it. The Nintendo DSi came out today. The new that's going to be phasing out the DS lights, and everybody's going to have a DSi. This is the new DS that has a memory card, or like a SD card slot, I think. It has two cameras, one pointed away from you, one pointed towards you. And it's got an app store where you can download things that aren't necessarily games. Hooray. And it's got no Game Boy Advance slot. Which is interesting because, you know, one of the top-selling third-party titles on the DS is Guitar Hero from Activision. We already talked about Guitar Hero a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit more. To play Guitar Hero, you must have the Guitar Grip, and the Guitar Grip only works with a Game Boy Advance slot. So the new DSi completely kills that entire title. So if you want to play Guitar Hero games on your DSi, you cannot. So sad. I don't know what Activision is going to be doing. I haven't seen anything like a new peripheral or whatever that will go into a different slot on the DSi. I haven't seen that. I also haven't touched a DSi. Apparently, one of the other things I think is that they put the power button back near the D-pad, which was one of the bad things about the original DS Fat, was that the power button was right above the up on the D-pad. So if you were really getting into it, you could have accidentally turned off your system if your thumb went up a little bit. Now, apparently, it's down. On the DS Lite, they made it a switch on the side, which was great because it was out of the way of every single button. But now it's a button again, from what I understand. Oh, well. Now, here's one of the other reasons, and I hate ripping on Sony because, like I said, they're being nice to us, but they're not bribing me enough to not call them out. They sent out a press release like they have been doing. I don't know what happened, okay? In 2008, Sony did really well in not saying stupid things. At least to me. They did not say any stupid things. And apparently, I guess, in the economy, they got rid of the guy that made sure they didn't say stupid things. And now they've gone back to saying stupid things. And this one's not actually from an executive. This one's just a press release. Engadget actually posted this. Sony's PR team sent a statement from Sony PlayStation on PSP and competitive landscape. And I did not get this press release. I am not on that press list, I guess. So they basically said, if Nintendo is really committed to reaching a broader, more diverse audience of gamers beyond the kids market they've always engaged, there isn't much new with the DSi to support that. Significant gamer demographic groups are being ignored, and there continues to be limited opportunities for games with external publishers to do well on the DSi. Wait, Guitar Hero? Okay. Compare this with the PSP platform, where we have many blockbuster franchises from our publishing partners launching this year, presenting a wide variety of genres and targeting diverse demographics. Games such as Rock Band Unplugged from MTV Games, which is kind of like Guitar Hero on the DS, Assassin's Creed from Ubisoft, which there was an Assassin's Creed on the DS, Dissidia Final Fantasy from Square Enix, okay, you got me there, and Hannah Montana from Disney, which there are like three Hannah Montana games on the DS, demonstrate this commitment that publishers have to the PSP. From our own first-party studios, we're launching unique versions of Little Big Planet and MotorStorm. Okay, got me there. And we're also planning a steady stream of downloadable games, both new titles and PS1 classics, to add to the content that PSP owners can already purchase wirelessly through PlayStation Store. So, Nintendo also does, first-party titles as well on their platform. Yeah, they're not Little Big Planet and MotorStorm, but, they have, their Marios and Zeldas. They're going to be launching Links on a Train. It's coming out later this year, the new Zelda game. I'm calling it Links on a Train because I don't actually have the real name in front of me. So I'm just going to call it Links on a Train for right now. Woo-woo. And, but the whole, third-party thing, they actually listed, games that are You know, and I like Rock Band Unplugged. It's going to be like Frequency or Amplitude, which I think is awesome because I love those games on the PlayStation 2. So if you get your PS2, you should go pick up those games. But they're using games that, like Assassin's Creed and Hannah Montana, they have DS games from them. Don't use them in an official press release saying that why you're better than the DS, because, and then list games that are also on the DS. That doesn't exactly work. But they're basically saying that the DSi is a kid's machine, because it goes for the kids' demographic, because kids love playing games like, you know, Hotel Dusk and things like that. Dark Tetsuya says Link's on a Train. Nintendo should rename it that. It would be easier to remember than whatever they've named now, because it's completely slipped my mind. Tiger Claw, always looking at the details. I don't get how a train in a Zelda game could exist when it takes place in medieval times. Billy O'Keefe says, have you played Assassin's Creed DS? That ain't a game, it's a punishment. Zachary Pilot says, I think the new Assassin's Creed game is different than the DS one. Well, according to Billy O'Keefe, it really should be. ActDef, I guess he either has a DSi or he's put his hands on one, I don't know. He could have one, but he said the power button on the DSi is way down on the D-pad side, so I don't think he doesn't think it'll happen. I was kind of more worried about, like, not the tip of my thumb hitting it, but maybe, like, the near the knuckle. It depends on how I hold it. I need to, like, hold one, and then I can comment. X-Link said Spirit Tracks. That's the name of the game, Spirit Tracks. I like Links on a Train better. Woo-woo. Acid Vampire says there are some great games on the DS. The problem is that there is also too much horse crap on it as well. Same with the Wii. And there was also a lot of horse crap on the PS2 as well. I mean, the PS2 had a lot. And, you know, the PS2 still did well. You know, just like the Wii and the DS are still doing pretty well, even with all the shovelware on it. I can't wait for Rock Band Unplugged, though. That's like the only PSP game. And then I think the Final Fantasy Dissidia, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I think that one would be good, too. Billy O'Keefe says he has a DSi. You cannot accidentally turn it off, so my fears are unfounded. Unless you have 13 fingers on your left hand. Well, what if I do? He said that would be awesome if he does. One last news story I really wanted to, you know, this was kind of my main topic, but we kind of got sidetracked on other things, which is just fine. The main topic was about XNA games. Recently this month, or last month actually now, a lot of the sales figures for XNA games were released to their to the XNA creators. So if they had a game up on the community marketplace on Xbox 360, they got their sales data. They got, you know, how many people tried the demo, how many people purchased the game, and then how much money was made before Microsoft takes their cut. And from what a lot of people are saying, it's very dismal, basically. There are some games that have done quite well, but not many of them. Like, you know, the big, like, Word Soup or Word Jong or whatever that was, they made out really well. But even games like Mommy's Best Games Weapon of Choice, which we actually had Nathan Fouts on this program back when the community games launched over with the new Xbox experience, they didn't even do all too well. And they're trying to make a company out of this. But I'm seeing, you know, some people on, you know, there are some reports out there saying that, you know, some of these developers, they spent all that time making the game, and they're going to get maybe a couple hundred dollars from this. And, you know, to some people, that probably sounds like a lot. You know, that's great, you know, making a couple hundred dollars. But when you consider that, you know, maybe they spent two or three straight months on all their free time doing that, making, you know, and only getting a couple hundred bucks back, then, you know, some people are saying maybe this isn't worth my time. You know, especially with, you know, Apple now in the iPhone App Store, people are making more than that. And there was actually even some people that said, yeah, I released the same game on the iPhone App Store and on Xbox Live Arcade for the same price, or Xbox Live Community Games for the same price, and they made tons more, like exponential more, on the iPhone Store than they did in XNA. So I think what's going to happen is that there are going to be less community games coming out that are of any quality. Because the revenue model's just not there. And I don't know if it's because there's no rating system available on the Xbox 360, like a ranking system or whatever, saying that, you know, hey, this is a good game. I mean, there's the featured games, but Microsoft theoretically is supposed to take a cut if you're featured, which they decided not to do, I guess, because of the dismal sales, because I've got a thing from Mommy's Best Games blog. But basically, there's Microsoft decided not to take more out if they featured the game. So that was kind of nice of them, but it's not a way to make a living. And I think some people were thinking that it was going to be a way to make a living. Hey, I'm going to make games on XNA, make lots of money, and it'd be great. And, you know, it's not the case. And it's kind of sad because, you know, I liked a lot of the games that were on the community games. And I think it's going to just be, you know, they're going to see a trickle less. There are other ways to see, you know, what games. I think Dead Pixel Live here on All Games Radio, they're doing like a community seal of approval of XNA games, but there's nothing that's available inside the Xbox 360. And that's because Microsoft doesn't want to do one. And so I think that's kind of hurting them in terms of this and what they can and can't, what people are going to buy and what they can and can't do with it. Billy O'Keefe says, community game store is just a cluster screw. And the iPhone App Store has ratings, organization, the feeling that Apple gives a crap about it. And that's kind of what I think it is. I mean, it's easier for me to find something in the App Store than it is for me to find on my Xbox 360. SSJ100, I mean, there's some games did okay, but it wasn't the stellar high numbers that Microsoft had said. So that I'm not, like, going to really call out any specific games and say exactly what they made. But it was lower than expected. So we're going to take a very quick music break here. And we will be back and taking your calls on any of these topics. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Hey, Bobby, it's Blade. I just wanted to leave you a bumper so you can use it, because you're always complaining how nobody leaves you a bumper. And the last one is crazy, and I don't want to hear it 1,000 times. So here it is. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwood Show, the real All Games flagship show.
See, he left a bumper. Why can't you? Bobby Blackwood Show on Skype. If you want to leave a bumper, I'll put music behind it, or you can email me an MP3 with your voice, blackwolf@allgames.com. That's where you can go to email me a bumper, get your voice set on the air. We actually did have another bumper come in during the show last week, so we'll be running that one next week. So thank you, so I don't have to play the same bumper from Sully every time. So we're going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, or 1-866-880-0156 is where you can call in. That's toll-free in North America. You can talk about the DSi. You can talk about the PlayStation 2 if you want, or you know, Guitar Hero or Monsters vs. Aliens or anything else going on in the gaming industry. Feel free to call in and give your 2 cents or 5 cents or 500 space bucks, Microsoft points, whatever. And there are even people in, you know, wondering if there's a reason to get a PSP. And I'm sure that there's going to be some great games coming out for the PSP. It's just, it seems very slow to me to get in terms of, like, the games on the PSP, you know, comparing it to the DS and stuff. I have way more games for my DS than my PSP. But I am looking forward to Rock Band Unplugged, because it really does look like it's a throwback to Amplitude and Frequency, which I have absolutely zero problem with. Billy O'Keefe says, the reason to get any system that's been out for a few years is the same, a bunch of great games at budget prices or lower. And that's why, you know, a PS2 would be an appealing system. And he says, even the PSP has an impressive catalog by now. We do have a hearer call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is X-Link.
X-Link, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, what's up? Nothing much. PS2 games, there's actually a lot coming out. It's just going to be slow, of course. Same thing with the PSP. PSP especially, I wanted to, like, talk a little bit about, because there's one game in particular I'm looking for the PSP that they were saying that it's coming out from Square Enix. It's called The Third Birthday, and that would have been the third installment for Parasite Eve, which is supposed to be coming out, I believe, next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would imagine, make more of an announcement come E3 about when it's coming out, but there's been a lot of rumors flying around about it. So they had pictures, and supposedly there's a trailer out for it, too. So that's the one I'm looking forward to the most, besides, of course, Persona 4, which came out a while back, which mm-hmm. I enjoyed playing that, so... But
now, is that on the PS2 or the PSP?
The
Parasite Eve.
The Parasite Eve will be for the PSP.
Okay. Yeah, because you said Persona 4, which is a PS2 title. I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're planning on doing exactly, like I said before, because they're keeping a lot of things under wraps, and so it's really hard to say. There was also rumors flying around for a while, too, that Xenogears was coming to the PS Store, but I don't think they'll be doing that anytime soon, but it'd be cool for them to start bringing out some of their titles, because they have no titles on there whatsoever, but... Mm-hmm. So,
Well, they've got some PS1 titles, like Suikoden, the first one's on the PlayStation Store.
Yes, correct, yeah. Right. But I'm just talking about more than just that, like, you know, right. Like the Final Fantasy series, which they're famous for, maybe mm-hmm. the Xenogear, the Parasite Eve.
Right.
You know, more of the more original titles that were flying around the market. Right. So,
and Suikoden was Konami anyway, never mind.
Oh, yeah. That's right. My bad.
Well, mine too, I brought it up.
I dropped my computer in front of me, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I suck. But, that's why I said that. Anyway. Got to keep that going.
Yeah. But no, I just called him because you said you need a few people to call, so I'm calling in. So.
All right.
And that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head right now. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. See how easy it is, guys. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. You can call in and talk about anything, even if it's only for a minute or two. That's perfectly fine. Those are the best calls. Game Guru says, the problem with the PSP is the same problem as the PS3. It really only sells in Japan and in Europe. I mean, the PSP sells pretty well in Europe, as does the PS3. You know, the U.S., as much as I do believe that the U.S. is the center of the world, it's not. You know, and let me get a second opinion. So, Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Aki River from Sweden.
Okay, Aki River from Sweden. So, you know, is the United States the center of the world, yes or no?
Well, that was some spot.
All right. So, what's on your mind, man?
I was called about... You were talking about Parasite Eve, and which is a game that... Well, the first game, I should say, is really heavy on... Really a... Well, I don't get it. Why the hell it isn't on the PlayStation Store so you could play it on your PSP?
Probably because Square Enix doesn't want it up there yet.
Yeah, because there's... But here's what... That's sort of, in one way, a thing that I was sort of, like, really drooling when I saw... When I saw what was available at the Japanese PlayStation Store. Since there... Because, well... As you might as well guess, in a way, I am really a fat sucker for the old PlayStation 1 RPGs. The whole thing that basically everything that Square and Konami and all others, Atlus and other, sell kind of RPGs that they made, and mm-hmm. I really really want to see that. But since I'm not going to see that, well. I'm probably gonna do with the sort of like I'm gonna be boring in the sense that I'm just gonna get a hacked PSP and play it from there. So
this is me wagging my finger at you. Tisk tisk. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. Bobby Blackwell Show does not condone this.
Here's the other thing. I actually own a few of those already on. Already on the original PlayStation. So, well, eek.
Tisk, tisk. So,
yeah, still.
Yeah. So, yeah, so thanks for calling in. We actually had somebody trying to call in to give us a DSi review. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yep. Later. Okay. Bye.
So we did have somebody try to call in. I know he's been trying to call in to give us a DS review. So I'm actually going to call him and see if he's going to pick up because he said he couldn't call in earlier because he has a DSi. And I wanted to hear from him. Yeah. So, Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this? Hello? And now his mic's not working. What is it with you people and your mic's not working? Well, that was a bust. I called him, and I heard myself, and then, yeah. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. I might even leave this part in the podcast. This is what you get if it's live. You actually hear more of that than what's here. So I'm going to give him a minute or two to reconnect or figure out his microphone setup. Echo123 is an amazing Skype user. It's got a nice little British lady, and she tells you things. and then you tell her things, and she says what you said back to them. So I'm going to go ahead and take another call here. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, Bobby, Zeno from the Ultimate Quest.
ZenoCore. Now, this is not the person I was waiting on, but what's up, Zeno? The other guy's mic doesn't work, so it's all you. What's up?
Not much, man, not much. On top of the PS Store issue you guys raised, actually quite a few of those PS1 games we all love are released in the Japanese store, including Xenogears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the biggest annoyances for me. It must be just a licensing issue,
right,
or the will of the company that's holding it back from the U.S. store.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, there's Square Enix USA and Square Enix Japan. They're different entities. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's always that. And I guess they think that all we care about here in the U.S. is Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, and to add to that, I'm surprised there aren't more games, whether it's Xbox 360 or PSN or whatever, as far as classic games that have not been remade yet that actually could do rather well if they did enough work into them. Mm-hmm. Such as, I'm going all the way back to like 2600, we're talking mm-hmm. Berserk, Yar's Revenge, and all these other stuff. These simple design ideas that could easily be redone and revamped, add a little bit of stuff added to them, released for $5 or so, mm-hmm. or what is it, like 400 points in the 360 land, or $5 on the PSN, mm-hmm. and maybe make some extra money on the side for a game that's already been designed. But I think
a lot of people rallied against that. Like, a lot of people hated that. Oh, I got to pay $5 for a game I played 20 years ago.
Well, that's the whole idea. If they actually put enough new design into it, it won't be exactly the same game. Like, include the old game as an Easter egg that you can release and try out, just like they did with Panzer Dragoon Orta. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really wanted to, after you beat the game, you could play the original Panzer Dragoon. Granted, that's a high-end one, but I mean, as far as the Atari stuff for a game is as cheap as $5, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do know Microsoft said that they didn't want to do as many, like, ports and stuff. That was why they turned down, like, some of these arcade shooters and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see some of the stuff. I probably would not pay $5 for Yar's Revenge, though. It really depends.
Yeah, I mean, if they put the concept into maybe a 3D
that kills Yar's Revenge.
Well, I understand the old way, that the way you play Yar's Revenge, it's 2D, it's that way for a reason. But you can't, you can't tell me that a game cannot be redesigned and done well and you still like it. Like, for instance, is anybody, I'm asking the chat room as well, mm-hmm. has anybody played the re-release of Pong that Atari did for the PC ages back, maybe like 7-8 years ago, where they added a hell of a lot of new elements to the original Pong game? You know, interactive environments, extra stuff that was going on in the stages. It mm-hmm. was small, but I actually liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, no,
so I think there's room there. I do think there's room there if they decide to put the work into it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Atari just keeps changing hands and everything, and I don't even, does the current Atari even own the Atari back catalog, or is it just, do they have just the name?
Nah, Michael Jackson probably owns it. He was buying up everything else, probably. So who knows.
Yeah. It's right there next to the Beatles catalog. Thanks for calling in, Xenocore.
No problem, man. You take it easy, Bobby. The CNN of the gaming world, dear gentlemen.
Thank you very much. At least I'm not the Fox News. Coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento. Talking about games just like we do for a lot longer than we do, and we kind of bump them back every time, like they start late every time, because I don't know how to shut up in time. So usually I call them and apologize for bumping them late a couple minutes every time. So I just want to see if they're there. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Bobby?
Yeah, your mics aren't working now.
Yeah, we should be going.
Okay, there you go. You were stuttering a little bit. What's up? Are you guys there?
That's kind of strange. Yes, we are here, Bobby.
Usually I'm the one that has the Skype problems calling to you. So what's up? Did you guys pick up a DSi?
No. No. Heck no. I don't think anyone did. Dark Soccer, you get a DSi?
No.
Loki? He's hooking up the video.
Not yet.
He's hooking up our Justin TV tonight, but he says no.
We have something cooler than a DSi.
What'd you get?
I got an FC Mobile.
What the hell is that?
It's a portable NES.
Sorry. What the heck is that for Bobby's show?
A portable NES.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Portable NES is cooler than a DSi. How do you like that? Because you don't have to pay $5 a game, right? You already have a vast mm-hmm. collection of cartridges that have been collecting dust over the years.
I'm not getting in until I don't have to pay $5 a game, if you know what I mean.
Bobby Blackwell Show does not condone this. You and Aki Ripper are just both, you know, going R.
I updated my Wii to 4.0 finally.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to do that.
Well, Bobby, you go online and you hit the button that says update Wii
firmware.
That's
right. Yeah.
Of course, I had to make a few changes first, you know, to allow certain.
Right. I have a head tracking app I like using on my Wii. I need to keep that head tracking app there.
Doesn't the DS, isn't that one of the DSi downloadable things right now? A picture taking, face altering app. I mean, honestly, the DSi stuff sounds stupid. I mean, I guess there's a WarioWare game that sounds okay, but not for whatever it is, $190. You know, I realize we have this old golden rule about video games. A system is only as good as the games that are on it. But you know, we already have the DS. I think in this case, if you're going to upgrade the system and it doesn't really play any new exclusive games yet anyway, then I don't see the point. And of course, you know there's going to be those DSi. I mean, they've confirmed those cartridges are out there that are going to be DSi only. You know it's a matter of time before they put the must-have games on those cartridges because they're bastards, and that's what they right. do. That's how they make money. And that means we'll all have to get them because they'll be that one game.
They're not going to do that because that's retarded because if you think about it, they have all these DS sold. Mm-hmm. You know, why would they all of a sudden just stop, you know, putting out stuff?
Because idiots like me that will buy them because there's the faster processor and all this stuff. And
what they're just going to do DSi enhanced games. I bet you anything, it's not going to be phased out at all. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like the Wii, you know, or with the Wii that's similar to the DS.
Okay, but look at Game Boy Color.
I was just about to bring that up.
The games for a long time supported the black and white old school Game Boy because that's what everybody had, and the Game Boy Color. But then eventually, there were like even the old ass Pokemon games would run on the old black and white Game Boy.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, I think like Pokemon Pinball and some of the later titles were color only.
But you got to get with the future. It's all about color. Okay, now this isn't black and white and color. This is. Ooh, look, now I have stupid cameras on this. Awesome! What can I do with the stupid cameras? That's gimmicky. Because guess what? It's gimmicky. That's it. There's nothing really, you know, awesome about this. If they had motion sensors inside the, you know, stupid DSi, then it might be, oh my goodness, you know? Then they could do an Excite Truck for the DS, which I would totally pick up. But it's not going to be anything really amazing. All it's going to be is stupid, quirky little games that have some stupid... you know, gimmicky use for the camera. That's it.
I do want to comment on something, though, you said earlier in the show, Bobby, about the whole fact that Guitar Hero will not play on the new DSi.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Don't buy Guitar Hero on DS. If you're playing Guitar Hero on the DS, really, really, play the actual Guitar Hero game. Now,
a lot of people bought them.
Well, a lot of people are sheep. But here's the thing. The Rock Band on the PSP... That I get, because that's like a completely different kind of type of game. It's frequency, amplitude. Everybody, you know, we all want that. But the whole, like, trying to emulate the guitar thing in your hand, no.
And it hurts your wrist, too.
Yeah, it's bleh. Yeah. Not a fan.
So what else is coming up on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, you know, tonight our news actually happens to be a little bit light because, you know, April Fool's kind of got in the way and we had all that fake news that was going on out there. But we will talk about some of the real stuff going on.
And we're sacrificing chickens.
We're not going to sacrifice chickens. Is that your April Fool's joke?
Yeah, I guess. We're going to sacrifice the ferret.
We're actually...
Yes, joke.
We're actually going to open it up to our Twitter tonight and let them drive the show. So it should be kind of interesting, at least kind of the second half of our show. Because, you know, we are the show where every gamer has a voice, even when you... hear them.
Yep. And I have to ask you this, Rob. I have to ask you this. Were you upset that the Azeroth dance battle was an April Fool's joke and not actually for real?
I was so mad that that was an April Fool's joke. I mean, we all know it's an
April
Fool's joke.
You're the one who went back and played.
But here's the thing. I think something like that would be awesome. WoW needs something really stupid like that, but I guess we always have jeweled in-game, which is really useful for when you're on flight path.
Yep.
Or any other aspect of WoW could be easily as stupid as that.
Oh, shut up. What were you going to say before you got cut off?
Right? Oh, I was going to say, speaking of stupid, I played Bob's game, and I don't recommend playing the demo. It's awful. There's good reason why he doesn't have a dev kit.
He put out a demo?
Yes, he put out a demo. It's a DS ROM, and... And I don't care if it's one person making it. You need more than one because this game stinks.
You might recall we banned Bob and Bob's game from
our
show.
That's why I mentioned it on your show, ha! Huh?
Using your show as an outlet because Dark Soccer and I are like, enough of this a-hole. I don't want to I don't want to give him any more space. Ah!
I wouldn't even pirate it if it came out as an actual DS game. I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole.
Well, now I got to go check it out. Thanks.
Have fun. Have fun.
So, Orange Lounge Radio's coming up next. Have a good show, guys.
Thank you so much, Bobby, as always, for having us on. And see you in a couple months at E3, hopefully.
Yep. So, OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can listen to them, or they're right here on All Games Radio, just right after this show is over. And unfortunately, we've got to go. We were going to try to work in one more call, but didn't work out this week. Maybe next week. So, that's it. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at AllGames.com or Friday Night Gaming, FNGLive.net. We will actually have a DSI on Friday Night Gaming showing. We're going to probably spend an hour just go through all of the new features of it so you can make an opinion on if it's something that you really think you need to be spending $180 on. So we're going to be putting it through its paces on Friday Night Gaming this Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific here on All Games Radio or at video.fnglive.net. So feel free to leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you use our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com. You can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. Channel Z, Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, Hendrix, Billy O'Keefe, Bird, D5T, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Maximilian, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Acidic Vampire, Act Def, AGN, Smoke and Crack, Zui, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Altame, Satsuma, Analog Outrage, Ash Fox, Bacon Bits, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Breaking Dawn, Breslold, Captain Roy, Cedabria, D5T, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DeBlueGuy, DRP223, Game Guru, GK128, Gunstar Silver, Havoc978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Interlogic, Jamaican Wayne, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kazan, Kulex, Elfrost, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Ranma, Recon Elite, Shadow Next Gen, Shadows Liar, Squaggle, SSJ100, Matt, Sub-Z, Sully907, Swampfather, TDB30, Tedekin, The Raven, TM95, True, Valerno, VXJSNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, Xenocore, X-Link, Zaku Pilot, 256, Zappy, and DR4EV. That's it for us. If you are listening live and you have Twitter, why don't you send a tweet to OLR and say, talk about Bob's game. And don't say that I told you that because they don't listen to the end of the show. So tell OLR on Twitter to talk about Bob's game. And if everybody does that, it'll be awesome. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.